Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering people who have died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday, which is observed every year on the last Monday of May, originated as Decoration Day. Now, I've heard some people say Declaration Day. It's not declaration, it's decoration, as they decorated the American Civil War grave sites. In 1868, when the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of Union veterans founded in Decatur, Illinois, established it as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the Union war dead with flowers. By the 20th century, competing Union and Confederate holiday traditions, celebrated on different days, had merged. And Memorial Day eventually extended to honor all Americans who died while in the military service, no matter when that would have taken place. It typically marks the start of the summer vacation, as Joe noted for us, and ends on Labor Day, which marks the end of summer. Many people visit cemeteries and memorials, particularly to honor those who have died in military service. Many volunteers place an American flag on each grave in national cemeteries. And I don't know if they did it this year, but I know many years the Girl Scouts in our area right around here have decorated the cemetery up here. Did they do that this year? They didn't do it this year. But I know many years they have done that. Annual decoration days for particular cemeteries are held on a Sunday in late spring or early summer in some rural areas of the American South, notably in the mountain areas. In cases involving a family graveyard where remote ancestors, as well as those who were deceased more recently, are buried, this may take on the character of an extended family reunion, to which some people travel hundreds of miles. People gather on that designated day, put flowers on the graves, renew contracts with relatives and others. Not contracts, contacts. With relatives and others. There often is a religious service and a picnic-like dinner on the grounds, the traditional term for a potluck meal at the church. It is believed that this practice began before the American Civil War and thus may reflect the real origin of the Memorial Day idea. That all came from Wikipedia. Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is the day of remembering the men and the women who died while serving, while Veterans Day celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans, including those which are alive. Life is full of death. Romans chapter 5, verse 14 says, "But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come." This morning in our scripture reading, we read about Abraham. And Abraham bought a cemetery plot, if you please, at least a place to make a cemetery. It was very common to bury your loved ones in a cave. Those of us who have visited in the Middle East and those of us who have read and studied Bible geography and Bible manners and customs know that the Holy Land is full of little caves, big caves, lots of caves, ugly caves, pretty caves, all over. Abraham saw a cave. He saw a field, and in the field was this cave, and he said, "I want to buy that to bury my wife, Sarah, who has just died." You read about that this morning, but if you wish to read about it again, turn with me to the 23rd chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 23. Sarah lived 127 years and died. And every one of you can rattle off a long list of names of loved ones and when they died and where they're buried. It's a normal part of life. Not a happy part of life, but a normal part of life. The Bible teaches us that death is going to happen to all of us. Unless the rapture takes place, which catches us all up to heaven in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we are going to die one by one by one by one. And when one dies close to you, you have a question in your mind, who's next? But we don't know who's next. I have my thoughts as to who might be next in our congregation, merely by that person's present physical condition and long-term physical condition. But you know what? Nobody expected Jesse to die. Nobody knows why she died, and nobody knew she was going to die. Gone. But it's a sweet comfort of knowing where she's at. And to remember that the Bible teaches so often, present from this old body, present with the Lord. And as I often say in closing my Sunday school class, my favorite verse is, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er the foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. What a great joy that is. Look with me in 19 and 20 of this chapter. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Now, where is Hebron? Hebron is south of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. It's down in the hill country. Hebron is up on a hill. And whenever Abraham looked north, he was looking at what God had promised for him and his ancestors to follow. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as a property for a burial place. Now, I don't want to get into the issue of cremation versus burial, but I do say this. Your loved one needs an honorable burial, whether by cremation or by embalmation, whether the body is here in front of the pulpit some Sunday or some weekday or the urn or whatever, there needs to be honor. Honor. And this whole day has been set aside as a day of honor. We've talked about honoring the military. When I was a little kid, I remember my parents and grandparents going to cemeteries at this time and putting flowers on graves of people I didn't even know. Now, I was a little guy, but now I understand. It was Decoration Day when I was born, and Memorial Day is a new name that was given to it in my lifetime and in the lifetime of many of you. But Decoration Day, showing honor. And I have two titles for this message. One is in the bulletin. What is that one? That one is Honoring the Dead. The one at the top of my page is A Fitting Memorial. But whatever it is, we are memorializing a loved one who has passed away. Let me continue on with some illustrations of this. Chapter 49 of Genesis, and we move to the next generation, if you please. The next generation is Isaac. Sarah and Abraham gave birth to Isaac, a miracle baby. And we all know the story of Isaac. And in Genesis 24, you have that wonderful story of getting the bride. And I hope you understand that Genesis 24, in sending out the trusted servant to find a bride for Isaac after his mother died, to comfort him. And that's a love story. At least it ends in a love story. But when we get to chapter 49, we find out that Jacob is dying. Old Papa Jacob, he's all old, he's blind, he's withered. He gives a blessing to his children. But also we learn something in there. In 29 verse 33, then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers, plural, in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. What is the point of all of that? We learned that Isaac buried Rebekah, the same place that his father was buried and his mother was buried. And then we learned that Jacob buried Rachel, not there, but back over in Genesis 35. Genesis 35, when Jacob was coming back from the years that he served Rachel's father, Laban, and he's gradually moving. Now he's moving piece by piece, year by year. He gets closer and closer and closer to Hebron. Every once in a while he picks up and he moves again. Sounds like the life of some of you, right? And then, as I mentioned this morning, the Ralphs, they've lived in the same house for 60 years. And others of you live here and live there and live there and live there and never more than 8 or 10 or 12 years, and pretty soon you have to move for whatever reason. Well, Jacob was doing that. He was taking years to move from Syria, way up here, all the way down to Hebron, way down in the bottom of the nation of Israel. He moves a little bit, and then he moves, and then he moves. But finally, he is almost back to where he wants to go. And guess what? His beloved wife, Rachel, is with child. And she gives birth to Benjamin, except she didn't name him Benjamin. She named him another name, and Jacob took the baby and named it Benjamin. Son of my joy. She named him son of my sorrow. And Jacob changed the name to Benjamin, or Benjamin, as it might be proper to say. So Jacob buries Rachel along the way, because she died in childbirth. Didn't quite get to where he was going. And so the tomb of Rachel is not too far outside of Bethlehem, a place of great warfare this day because the Muslims own all that area. But the Jews have a little conclave there, and they hold tight to honoring Rachel. So Jacob buries Rachel. And then back over in Genesis 49:23, Joseph, and that's what that passage was about that we learned about Isaac burying Rebekah, Joseph buries Jacob. You remember Jacob moved down to Joseph. And when Nael was moved down from Israel all the way down to Egypt, where they found out that Joseph was number two in charge in the whole land, Jacob settles in, and in time he dies. And his son gets permission from the Pharaoh to take a leave of absence and is blessed by that Pharaoh. And they have quite a huge procession as they take the body all the way back up from Egypt all the way back up into Israel, all the way to Hebron. And again, the body is buried. So Jacob is buried with his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. And then in chapter 50 of Genesis, you have the Jews burying Joseph, except they didn't. There was a little different plan in this situation. Chapter 50, if you would, please. And I didn't move you along, did I? All right, now we are the Jews. We're going to bury Joseph. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Now, isn't it interesting? The book of Genesis takes you all the way from in the beginning God to in a coffin in Egypt. And if you can master the book of Genesis, you will have learned an awful lot about history. You'll learn an awful lot about God's plan and God's purpose and God's work as God works through the ages. But that's not the end of the Joseph story, because now we got him embalmed and we put him in a coffin. And you can be sure that coffin was fancier than anyone you have ever seen in your life. Remember, this was Egypt. And remember, he was number two man in charge. And you have all seen pictures of coffins that have been taken out of pyramids and out of graves throughout the land of Egypt, covered with all of the gold and all the beauty that they did. And the lid was always a figure of the person at their best, even though the body inside didn't look quite so nice. But go with me, if you will, please, over to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. Remember, the children of Israel have just broken free from the land of Israel, of Egypt. They are packed up and they are moving. And go with me to verse 19. And Moses took the bones. By now that's what there were, no doubt. This was many, many years. This is almost 400 years after Joseph died. Guess we could say it was 300 years after Joseph died. For he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you and shall carry up my bones from here with you. So imagine all those 40 years the children of Israel are carrying the casket, the coffin, of Joseph wherever they went. There's some lessons that can be learned from that, but we're not going down that road today. But go with me to Joshua chapter 24. Now you got to know that Joshua is the carry-on from Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses got to bring them all the way to the Jordan River, but he was not allowed to cross the river and lead them into the whole, into the promised land. And the Bible says that he died on a mountain, which is called Pisgah or Nebo, overlooking the land, but not allowed to go into the land. And now we come to Joshua's demise, and he is coming to the end of his life. But there's a little message in there for us. Verse 32. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. Wow. That's only a fourth the value of the one that Abraham bought. He paid how much? 400, didn't he? Which had become the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And so Joseph is buried up in the middle of the land of Israel in Shechem. Now you come to the New Testament, and I'm just going to tell these stories. We don't have time to look at the scripture. But we have Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus has just died. We don't know why. He'd been sick for a while, obviously. They had sent a message to Jesus, please hurry and come. Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. And Jesus didn't come. He stayed where he was 4 more days. During that time, Lazarus dies. Lazarus is embalmed. Lazarus is wrapped up. Lazarus put into a cave. And the cave is sealed. And you know the story. It's found in John chapter 11. And Jesus comes and undoes their work. What a great story. I love that story. John chapter 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. And you can read it. And then Jesus dies. He's crucified. He pays for your sin and for my sin. He dies on the cross in your place and in my place. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come, and they get permission to take the body down off from the cross, and they do to it all that they can in a very short period of time because it's coming up to Passover time, and they're not allowed to do anything after a certain moment. And so they work feverishly to wash the body, to wrap the body, to put on spices, as many as they have. They have 100-pound weight of spices that they work into the wrapping as they embalm. And finally, Jesus is placed in a tomb. And a big stone is rolled over the door. And they rush to get to their homes in time for the Passover meal, which is a very sacred time and very regulated by the setting of the sun. But along comes God the Father. And what does he do? He undoes it all, doesn't he? Third day, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. You know what? Families bury us too. And out back here, one block away, is a cemetery. Many of the people in that cemetery have attended this church through the years. Many of the people in that cemetery attended the Methodist church out back through the years. And many of the people buried in that cemetery attended no church and gave no thought to their soul whatsoever. But you know, there's a day of resurrection coming, folks. And I lead your attention in closing to 1 Corinthians 15. You don't need to look there. You've heard it many times. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Therefore, this is for you folks. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to remember all those that have served us in different military forces. We realize how many have given their lives to protect our country. Some have the scars from the battles that they fought in. For all these, we honor men and women who have served and are serving in our military. There are those that couldn't actively serve in a branch of our military forces, but were rejected because of physical reasons or something else. This can sometimes leave a feeling of not being good enough to serve. But wait, there is the greatest army that is led by the greatest leader in command. Anyone of any age can join and serve our fellow men and women. It is the Lord's army, and we need to recognize all those who are member and are on the battle front for the Lord. Every branch of our armed forces has their signature song. There is also one that we Christians have learned from childhood. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never fight in the military. I may never zoom over the enemy. I may never fight in the cavalry, but I am in the Lord's army. Who is in the Lord's army? Our Sunday school teachers, missionaries, pastors, parents, and it should be inclusive. All of us should be recognized. Remember the Lord today and praise his name.